Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 24. Resurrection Sunday, what a blessed day. Boy, I've been excited about this. The resurrection of Jesus Christ truly does fill our hearts with just such joy and hope, doesn't it? How many people are excited this morning? Is it just me or is everybody? Everybody excited? All right. You got some nice smiles on those faces. Good stuff. And we can be excited because of the hope that we have, because of Jesus Christ being risen again. The resurrection is the final act that establishes the Christian faith. The final act that establishes the Christian faith. Without the resurrection, we would not have a leg to stand on, would we? We could sit there and we can come to church, we could believe that Jesus Christ lived on this earth, did many great things. But if he did not rise again, well, then he was just simply a good man who did some neat things. But there is no longer any hope. And that's the problem with other religions in the world, is that they are following after various leaders or gods who are in the grave. And they do not have any hope in that religion. Jesus Christ is the only way, and he made that way possible because he died on the cross, but 3 days later rose again. I'm happy about that. And that event, the resurrection, means a lot of things to different people. And what I want to do this morning is take a bit of time. I'm not going to be long this morning. Everybody breathes a big sigh of relief because we're going to get into communion. Appreciate that support, guys. It's great. Because I want to get into some communion and also into some more worship this morning. But what I want to do this morning is point out and list a few of the reasons why this miracle is important to us today. And we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 24. And just, this is obviously not an exhaustive list of why this resurrection is important to us, but just a few things of what we see pointing out to us through Luke chapter 24. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee." The first thing we see of why this miracle is important to us is that we experience the provision of life. We experience the provision of life because Jesus Christ rose again. Jesus was not put in the grave to stay. Though that was the intent of many people, wasn't it? We've got to kill this man and quiet him once and for all. And then all of his disciples and those that are creating this upheaval, this uprising, well, then they'll be scattered and it'll just quench all this. It'll just kill it. And it was the intent of those people there, the religious leaders, to put him in the grave to stay. But even death was not able to keep him in the ground. This was resurrection power, wasn't it, that brought life? And this is the hope that we have today for our lives, guys. Jesus Christ rose again, and that is the hope that we apply now to our lives. The ladies here, as they came to the grave, the stone was rolled away. But they went and didn't find him, and they were perplexed. They didn't understand that. Well, where's Jesus? Should he not be here? Should we not be able to see him here? Where is he? And they were concerned, they were worried. They had forgotten the words that were spoken to them, it says in Galilee. And the angel said, "Why are you searching for the living among the dead? Why go to those places, the places of the dead, to find the living? Not going to happen, because Jesus is alive." And that's the hope we have today for our lives. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's start reading in verse 12. Now, if Christ has preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. And to that we can shout out a big amen. Thank you, Lord. Because by one man, Adam, who was the first to sin, because of that, we were all born into sin, weren't we? But in the same way as by one person came sin into the world, by one person, Jesus Christ, all have been made alive because of the work he did. He has provided life for us because he conquered death and rose again. There are those today who are living life as though they are dead. They are living that way because they have no hope of a resurrected life. They have no hope in a resurrected life because they have the Savior still in the grave. They have not come to terms with that Jesus is risen again. It's too hard for some people to grasp. How can that be? And so they think that after he's put in the grave, that was it. That was done. That was finished. And now they have no hope. They have no expectation of a resurrected life. Some are looking for life among the graveyards of society. They're walking around trying to find life among the dead, as our text says today. Going to places like the bars or the nightclubs. Anything where they can try to find life, find happiness. And they will only find that when they turn to the resurrected Savior. Only then will they find the life, because he is the provider of life. He's risen, and we too will be resurrected in newness of life. Not only life for the future, but guys, it's the abundant life for today too. He's provided for that. We don't just say, oh Lord, this life stinks. I can't wait till I can be with you. And sure, we feel like that sometimes. And nothing will compare to the day that we're with him in glory. But you see, he's also, because he rose again, he has given us life for today. Abundant life. Life in him. And my friends, that is the joy when we are walking with him. We experience that life. Oh, and it is incredible. Nothing compares with that. Colossians 2, verse 11 to 15. Let me read that to you. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. Colossians 2, 11 to 15 says, "In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the circumcision of your flesh," catch this, "he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. He has made us alive together with him. Revelations 1, verse 17 and 18 says, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death.'" Jesus came and conquered death that we might have life. Life now and life forevermore, because he is alive. And so, through the resurrection, we experience the provision of life. Secondly, we experience the peace of fellowship. We experience the peace of fellowship. Now, look in verse 13 of Luke 24. "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with him." Jesus came and met up with these two on the way to Emmaus. He drew near and went with them. Now the word says here that their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And other gospels say that he appeared to them in a different form, most likely speaking of his glorified body. And so, no doubt, Jesus might have looked a little different here because of the glorified body, but also we see that that God, I believe, was also just restraining, was blinding them from clearly seeing right at this moment who Jesus was. But we see here that Jesus comes, and what a beautiful picture we see here in this text this morning. And I believe it's a picture that relates so wonderfully to us today, that Jesus comes alongside us and desires to walk with us. And as they were walking along, the people, these two brothers, were just, they were concerned. They were also perplexed because they had heard the word that the tomb was opened, but Jesus was not found there. And they walked along questioning, how could this be? And they said, it's the third day today. The day that Jesus said he would rise again, and we don't know where he is. They were worried. And Jesus comes alongside them to minister to them, to have fellowship with them. And in verse 25, Jesus then said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together. Jesus came and sought these two people on their way to Emmaus, and their hearts were troubled, no doubt about it. Yet, I like this, that Jesus came and took time to spend with them and to comfort them. They were experiencing this peace of fellowship that could have only been possible through the resurrected Lord. Now, as I said, they were unclear of where Jesus was. They knew the tomb was open and they knew it was empty, but Jesus was not there. Where was he? Here's the beauty of it, guys. He was with them, walking with them, fellowshipping with them. And as I said, that would not have been possible apart from the resurrection. After the resurrection, Jesus took time to spend with people, and he showed himself to many. That was the last part of his ministry, was to come and minister, to come alongside people, to fellowship with them. Several accounts, what does Jesus do? He comes and breaks bread with people, speaking of that fellowship that they would enjoy. And not only did he walk along with these two, but he stopped with them to break bread, and they enjoyed a time of communion together. You know, Jesus today desires to spend time with us. He desires to commune with us. He wants us to walk with him. That's the heart of the Father, guys. That's what Jesus desires. Not only for us to come and be with him, but he desires to spend that time with us in communion. And he showed that so wonderfully after his resurrection. And through that, we experience that peace of fellowship. Communion. When you have communion with somebody, when you're communing with a person, man, you're just there spending time talking, relating to one another, being with one another. And that's what Jesus desires. And he's made that possible through the resurrection. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. Again, that picture of just that communion, breaking the bread, being in fellowship together. These two were walking and they were learning with the Savior, weren't they? He was expounding the scriptures to them and their hearts were burning inside. You know, when we're walking with Jesus, he will make his word known to us, won't he? Warren Wiersbe says this, "The more that we receive the word of God, the more that we will want to fellowship with the God of the Word. The more that we receive the Word of God, the more we will want to fellowship with the Word of God." And true enough, I'm sure we've all experienced that in our lives, that when we are just in the Word, man, we just are hungry for it. We just want to spend time with the Lord. But there can be times, days, where we just put the Word upon the shelf. And we find that our fellowship with the Lord begins to suffer because we're not in the Word. And Jesus came and just expounded the scriptures to them. Man, and their hearts were just burning inside. Now, during this time of ministry in Jesus' life, there needed to be those that were brought back into proper fellowship. And they were able to do that now because their sin was atoned for. Peter, great example of that, isn't he? Jesus came and sought him out and restored Peter's life. Because remember, he denied him 3 times. But Jesus came and restored him, brought proper fellowship back in, and Peter was now able to experience that peace of fellowship because Jesus was with him. Now, what was the result of that fellowship with Jesus? What was the result from these two people? An excitement to go and tell others. Man, they ran. They rose up that very hour, it says, and returned to Jerusalem and told the disciples there. They had an excitement to tell others. And I pray that as we are spending time in fellowship with Jesus, walking with him, that we will have that same reaction to go and tell others. There's a great hymn that I'm trying to think of right now that's eluded me. It's an Easter hymn. Well, you know what? I'm going to just have to think of that and tell you later. But it talks about the risen Savior and about walking with him. Not "and he walks with me and he talks with me." Not that one. There's a different one. Man, that's going to bug me now. I was just singing it earlier, just before our service. Anyways, I'll come back to that later. So we've seen here that we experience the provision of life. We experience the peace of fellowship. Jesus desires to come alongside us. And because He has risen again, oh, we can walk with Him in that newness of life. Third and lastly, we experience the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at verse 48. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. While Jesus was here on earth, He was ministering personally to people. He was physically present and He was ministering to people. But soon a time would come when people would not have Him there. The disciples were troubled about that. Remember in John 14 when Jesus was talking about that. Why would Jesus go? Why would He have to leave? Well, David Guzik says this: Jesus had to ascend so that confidence would be put in the power and ministry of the Holy Spirit, not in the geographical presence of Jesus. You remember in our study last week in John chapter 7, in verse 39, when Jesus was talking about the living water. If anyone thirsts, then come to me and drink. Verse 39 said, but this He spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in Him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. You see, Jesus had to die on the cross and then rise again, but then also had to ascend to heaven so that the Holy Spirit could then be imparted to believers. When Jesus was here on earth and ministering, well, the Holy Spirit was not active as He is today, filling, overflowing people's lives. Jesus was there ministering. But when He was out of the picture physically on this earth, then the Holy Spirit would come and fill people's lives. Jesus said in John 14, verse 16 to 18, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you, orphans. I will come to you. Jesus was going to empower the believers to carry on the work. And it wasn't until after the resurrection that the Holy Spirit was to be given. Remember that when He rose again and met with His disciples in John chapter 20, that He breathed on them and said to them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was in them, but they were also to wait, to tarry in Jerusalem, when the Holy Spirit would just be poured into them, overflowing them. Now, what was the purpose of the filling of the Spirit? Well, quite simply, power. That was the purpose of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Power. But many people can twist that and say, oh, if I had the filling of the Holy Spirit, oh, look at the things that I could do. Look at the things that I could gain. And I think the power that they could use to serve themselves. But the power that the Holy Spirit gives is power to live an effective life for Christ. It is power to witness for Him. And it wasn't until after being filled with the Holy Spirit that the disciples and other believers were really able to speak boldly and evangelize. It was then that they were actually able to live up to the name Rock. Remember when He said to Peter, your name will be Peter, Rock. The indwelling presence and filling of the Holy Spirit is what made this difference, isn't it? That's what made the difference. And that is what Jesus wants from us, for us to live godly lives and to be witnesses of the good news. The good news that Jesus came to this earth as one of us, died on a cross, but rose again, and that we can have life in Him. That's what Jesus wants, is for us to be effective in that. Have you ever caught yourself saying, if only Jesus were here in this world today, physically, if I could see Him, oh, then I would just live such a, you know, a way better life. If only He was here, Lord, I would just live for You so much more. But the disciples, they lived and walked with Jesus for 3 solid years. But they were just a bunch of nincompoops, weren't they? They didn't do anything worthwhile in that time. But it was after He was resurrected and ascended to heaven, it was then that they began to turn the world upside down, it says in Acts. We can't say, Lord, if only You were here. Jesus wants us to trust Him and be led and empowered by the Holy Spirit to carry out the work. If Jesus remained here on this earth, well, then too many people would just leave all the work to Him. Say, well, Lord, You're here, You can do that. No, He wants to use us. He wants to empower us. And through the resurrection, we experience the power of the Holy Spirit. 3 important things, guys, today, of what this Resurrection Sunday means to us. Jesus is alive today. The resurrection has taken place. And because it has, we see that we can now experience the provision of life. We too will conquer death and be given glorified bodies, where we will live forever with our Savior. 2 Corinthians 15 says that the corruptible needs to put on incorruption, and this mortal body will put on immortal. We will be changed. Randy, you and I almost saw those immortal bodies on Thursday, driving together. I almost cracked up my car, I tell you. But Randy shouted out. We were just inches from that car. We could have seen the incorruption, but we have to wait another day. But we see He's experienced, we've experienced the provision of life. We've experienced the peace of fellowship, the peace of His fellowship. Our sins are forgiven, and He desires now today to spend time with us in communion and fellowship. Man, I'm so thankful for that. He's not distant, but He's with us today. Just as He was with those two on the way on the road to Emmaus, we can walk with Him. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, tells me. That's the song I was thinking of. There it is. That's the song. And thirdly, we experience the power of the Holy Spirit. He fills the believer to empower them on to live a Christ-like life and to share it with the world. So as we go forth today, let us be thankful, let us be rejoicing that we serve a risen Savior, and let us remember the importance that it is to us today as believers.